thanks to the Forum 6 Tamworth and Wagga Wagga and the Odeon 5 Orange. It's the Talking Flickster podcast with JT and Grant Lee.
Hello, welcome to the Talking Flickster episode of Talking Flicks. Mr. Lee, do you know what I just noticed?
Oh, what?
In the opener there, my name goes first every time. Have you noticed that?
Actually, yeah, I have noticed. And actually, you know what? Even on the posters, your name is first.
Wow. See, I always thought it was Grant Lee and JT. That's, yeah. I mean, yeah. I suppose I do hold the, I'm the glue, aren't I?
You are the glue.
So, I push the button, so I suppose, it doesn't make sense.
Correct. And you know that if I start pushing the buttons, God knows what'll happen if I do that.
Oh, no, like, you know, you'd be going here and then getting a, you know.
Yeah, that would be correct.
Yeah. How are you, Mr. Lee? Well, we only caught up yesterday, but great to have you back once again. And another movie, The Odyssey, this week.
Yeah, look, this one, I have been so excited. There's been so much hype, as we were saying last Thursday, about this movie. And it's funny, this week, because school went back on Tuesday in most towns, I know a couple of schools here in Tamworth actually didn't go back until Wednesday, but word of mouth is getting around about this movie and more people are coming because this is a Christopher Nolan movie and it's a must-see on the big screen.
Yeah, it certainly is, and some big names in this one as well. So there's Zendaya's in there, Matt Damon, Tom Holland. So, you know, when you get those big Hollywood superstars, you know the movie's going to be next level, isn't it?
Oh, correct. And Christopher Nolan, what can you say? You know, after Oppenheimer, which was absolutely huge, it won Best Picture, didn't it?
Yeah, it was huge. Oppenheimer.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Yeah. So I wonder if this will be something else that he might win an Oscar for.
Yeah, Interstellar, Inception, The Dark Knight Trilogy, and that Dunkirk, the Harry Styles movie as well, yeah. So big things for Christopher Nolan. Has The Odyssey lived up to the hype? We'll find out from our Flickster after we have listened to the trailer.
Tell me what you remember.
A wife? A son.
And then what?
We won the war. Help me go home.
This is a household waiting for master. I want you to choose me.
Coming back.
No, he's not.
What would he do if he came back here and find all these suitors in his house?
You're pining for a daddy you didn't even know, like some sniveling bastard.
Who's looking after your wife and son?
Do you see?
My dad is coming home.
Bringing vengeance.
Bringing it all.
Let's go!
I need everyone at this party dead.
I can still save them.
You're a man who needs to control his fate. But you cannot control this.
That world is gone.
No one could stand between me and home. Not even the gods.
Keep us free!
That is Odyssey, and to tell us all about it, it is our Flickster for this week. Welcome to Talking Flicks. Once again, it's Michael.
Hello, how are you going?
Hello, mate.
Hello. How you going?
Hello.
Yo.
Welcome back to Talking Flicks. What was the last movie we had to review, Michael?
I think it was Scream 7, yeah. And then before that, I think it was The Running Man. Yeah. I think this is my fifth time on here.
Oh, yeah. You're on Five Time Club.
Yeah. Saturday Night Live. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, you know where I was heading. Yes.
Well, you just know, Michael, if we invite you back, we like you. So the fact you've come back five times... We obviously like you.
Well, that's good to hear.
And you know what? We actually have sent you to some pretty good movies. We were just talking like off the podcast, Scream 7, how good that one was. Great little film. And now it's The Odyssey, which people have been talking about this movie for months, talking it up. Did it live up to the expectation? And for you, what was your overall impression?
Well... Going in, I knew that this film had a lot of controversy around it. People were talking about what roles actors were playing and the controversy of, you know, the orientation of the color and all this sort of stuff. Like, I don't know if you heard about, you know, Elliot Page playing the role of Brad Pitt's character from Troy, Achilles. Have you heard about those conversations on the internet, all that controversial stuff?
No, I have to say I haven't.
Well, I'm happy to say that a lot of these stuff that they've been saying is absolutely incorrect, and the roles that they thought they were playing was not true. Elliot Page plays a completely different character in the film. So if people who are whinging and complaining about, like worrying about him playing Brad Pitt's character, he's not even playing that role in this film. So overall, I think this movie is going to be one of the most talked about films of 2026. I absolutely enjoyed it start from finish. 3 hours went by and barely did I ever want to have a look at the watch. Did I ever feel like scenes need to be cut? It was a really well-told film. Yeah. I have a few nitpicks, but I really, really enjoyed it.
Okay. So are you a fan of Christopher Nolan movies? Have you watched a lot of his movies?
Oh, mate, like the Dark Knight trilogy, it's probably the best superhero trilogy of all time. Then you've got Inception, Memento, The Prestige, Insomnia, Memento. Yeah. He's done so many good films. Oppenheimer, yeah. He's definitely a director that goes outside the box with his films.
And I think that's what draws people to his movies, because he does do that and he makes movies for cinema. Something similar to Tom Cruise, he does that as well. It's always for cinema.
That's it, yeah. It's just an event. This movie is an event. And, you know, if you know the mythology of the Greeks, of the Trojan horse and the Odyssey, like if you know about the book, if you read the book, It's pretty close to it. Like it's pretty special. Like it does it well. It tells the story well.
Yeah, and we mentioned before some big names in the film, but none bigger than Matt Damon. How did you find Matt in his role? Did he nail it?
Look, I thought he was the right choice for the character that he was playing. Matt is a very loyal sort of person, and as a leader that the character he plays. He's very honest. He's true. He's a great husband. He's a great father. And, you know, he leads his team through all this treachery. Like, there's so much stuff they get through. And there's a scene where they get trapped in a cave with this big, giant, what do they call him? He's this one-eyed giant. And... half of them get out of the cave and he is about to run out with them, but there's others that are stuck in there and he decides, no, I'm going to stay and with the others that are stuck in here. So that just shows you the kind of loyalty that he has as a character. He plays it so well. And I love what happens in the third act with his character. And Matt does it so well. He plays for a guy that's so high up as like he's literally royalty. He acts so humble. And that's what Matt does so well with this character.
Now, you've got Matt, but you've also got some great supporting actors as well. Who stands up for you there?
I mean, I feel like Tom Holland, you either like him or hate him. I feel like this is the first time I've actually seen him play a boy becoming a man in a role, because he's always been playing the young boy teen roles. And now we're going to see him in the new Spider-Man movie where he's going to be an adult. So this movie was great to see him, to see that he can play the boy becoming a man. And Anne Hathaway, she's always phenomenal. But Robert Pattinson, I feel like he's the standout in this movie. He plays a two-faced character. All he cares about is what benefits him. Like, if there's something that goes on, if it's like a mate of his or something, it's all about what benefits him. And what, it's never about, it's interesting. I don't want to spoil the movie, but he is a very interesting character what Robert Pattinson plays.
I must say, I'm not a huge Robert Pattinson fan, and I didn't think he was great as the Dark Knight, in Batman, I should say. And I never watched Twilight, so, yeah. Well, it's good that he's a better person, better actor in this.
Yeah, he was in the movie with Zendaya called The Drama. He was pretty good in that. Did you watch that?
No.
He's really been doing, as he finished Twilight, he's really been getting into those independent films and really showing off his range as an actor. And he's just, in my opinion, he's been getting a lot better. And in this one, he does well playing the two-faced prick who looks like he's nice, but he's actually a prick behind the scenes. And he does that really well in this. Because he wants to, because Matt Damon's character has been gone for so long, he's been trying to pursue Anne Hathaway. He wants to marry her so he can take the throne. And he wants to try and impregnate her and, get an heir. And he wants to try and annihilate Tom Holland's character, the son of Matt Damon. So he's got a very interesting story in the film.
How interesting. So is it a movie that you really got to watch? Does it go back and forth to different times, or is it something that's an easy type watch?
I feel like the Matt Damon story is really, it shows you the Trojan War and what he went through, and it just goes through past glimpses until the recent time. So it shows you all the stuff he went through to try and get back to his island of where he lives and trying to get back to his wife and his son. And it shows, it's like going from the start past, and it goes from the past to the relevant time. And it tells the story of where Matt Damon's been and why he's been gone for so long. And it tells the story pretty well. I feel like it's not too confusing. Like, it's not like Inception where they're going in a dream within a dream to another dream and people are, you know what I mean? It's not that, it's not that, confusing. Oh, it's more simpler. Yeah.
Because that's what I was actually going towards, because Inception I found very hard to watch because I didn't know where I was. I didn't know what part of the dream I was in. And I'm thinking, I know Oppenheimer didn't do that either, but I wasn't sure on this one whether he had done something like that.
Yeah, but it's pretty simplified. I think it's a lot more simpler than that the other movies done. I feel like he's definitely thinking about the audience, just a casual going audience. To understand it, but it's well told. He's done it well. Yeah,
good. And Michael, one of the things that has had everyone talking about with this movie and a real standout is the visuals. How did you see that? Was there a scene that left you going, "Wow, this is pretty amazing"?
What I love about this film is how practical it is. It's literally a crew, and they're going to actual locations. Like, they're traveling, they're going to islands, mountains, and stuff like that where they're shooting. And when I saw the Cyclops, that looked real. Like, the big giant with the one eye, that was practical. And then there's a bit where they're on an island with this lady, and I don't know if you know what happens, but there's something to do with them and pigs. And what she does, it's practically, it's creepy and terrifying, and it gets under your skin, but it was really clever how they did it. But a lot of it in this film was practical. I could barely see much visual effects going on. There was like stuff that they mixed in with visual effects, but a lot of it was practical.
Because you know the ships were actually real. He built all those and actually was on the ocean because he wanted to have that feel of being real and epic. And I think that's such a great thing to pursue because it would be so much easier just to do 3D or not 3D, CGI or, you know, fake it in a soundstage or something like that. But he's not like that at all. And I think that's what makes him a really good director. Yeah. So is it a definite thing that you got to watch on the big screen?
Absolutely. And if I had the chance, I would see it in IMAX if I could. Like if I could go to a certain area in Australia where they have it in a certain like screen, I would go watch it in that, you know, whatever, like you go to the Chinese Theater in LA and they have the, like the biggest screen ever. I would go see it there in IMAX because it's that good.
It was actually made in 70 mil. He actually recorded it in. And it's funny that you say that because I had a look the other day to Melbourne because they've got an IMAX there as well as Sydney as well. But I had a look at Melbourne's IMAX. You can't buy tickets for the next few weeks to it.
Oh, it's sold out. There you go. Yeah. It's in demand. People want to see it. And that's great. That's fantastic. Yeah.
Now, you mentioned at the top of the podcast you did have some gripes. Is there something that you felt didn't work, that you didn't like about the movie?
Okay. This is to the people who are nitpickers who will say, okay, they're Greeks. They wouldn't be speaking English. They wouldn't be talking in American British lingo. They would be speaking in their Greek tongue, and they're completely English in the film. So I can understand people complaining about that. But and then also there are scenes where there are certain soldiers and army men wearing certain armor that just would not exist in that time. It just would, like, there's scenes where these giants come out with these big-ass armor. It just would not exist. But other than that, what saves the film is the storytelling. And you just engage and care about the characters that you just forget about that. You forget about the nitpicks about them not speaking Greek or the armor inaccuracies because it's just such a well-made film. And any movie that you watch that's a great movie, even The Godfather or Raiders of the Lost Ark, there's always flaws, even though they're amazing movies.
That's exactly right. So true. And it's good to see that, yes, not all films, you know, are accurate or something. And I must admit, I don't know whether I could watch something for 3 hours with subtitles.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's true. Yeah.
Something that you've got to think of is 3 hours. Do you reckon you could read for 3 hours and get that whole experience? I don't think you could.
Exactly. And that's what Christopher Nolan, he would have an answer and say he's trying to think about everyone, all the casual going audience that don't want to sit and watch a movie with subtitles. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, because generally most of the world speaks English. And you know, he's trying to get as much people in the seats as possible. You know, he wants this movie to succeed and he's making a strategic reason to make it English, you know, it was a good film.
We've come to that time. We've come to that time of the podcast where we've got to head over to the freezer.
Oh, no worries. Yeah.
I've got 5 Choc Tops here. How many Choc Tops are you going to give The Odyssey?
Mate, it's a 5. Yeah, it's a 5.
Oh, you are kidding. Hold on. Wow. There you go. Wasn't expecting that.
That's pretty good.
Oh, wow. 5.
That's impressive.
And there's just one thing I want to say. It's good to see a medieval movie that's not directed by Ridley Scott. Because the last two movies that were medieval that came out was The Last Duel and Gladiator 2, and they were both directed by Ridley. Yeah. And it's just good to see a different director touching on the, you know, medieval. Yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
Good call.
Yeah.
So good. Well said, Michael. Well said.
Yes.
Thank you once again for joining us on Talking Flicks, my friend.
No worries. Always love coming on here.
We love having you on here.
Yes, we certainly do.
Any plans for the weekend?
Not really. Just chilling, really. Just see what's up, you know? What are you guys up to?
Me? Nothing. Yeah. No, I'm chilling too. I've got no plans at all.
Got a kid's birthday party, I think. So
awesome.
Yeah, birthday party. So yeah, that's good though, because there's party pies and sausage rolls and frankfurts and all that kind of stuff. I love that. That's
what I know how food. Much you love. You love fairy bread. That's what you love.
No, I don't. Not really. I'm not a massive fan of fairy bread. No. No, but I do love a good frankfurt, and I love the party pie, except when they're hot. When they're too hot, that's bad too, because you spill it all down the front of yourself and you only get tomato sauce
everywhere.
You know
when they burst frankfurts? I don't like that.
No. It's consistency, isn't it? Getting the right consistency. Mm. Yeah. Anyway, that's a food podcast. Have a lovely weekend. Michael, great to catch up again as always, and we'll no doubt have you back for movie number 6 at some point.
No worries. What is available before we get off? Like, what do you have that you haven't got on there yet?
Well, we'll go to the close and we'll come back to you, okay? we need to go now because we're running out of music.
Want to be our next Talking Flickster? Register now at forum6.com.au or odeon5.com.au. Until next time, we'll see you at the movies.